This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Our theme today is about choices. So I'd like to open our programme this morning with a song called So Will I. The lyrics are quite beautiful, especially lines which seem to say, if all creation worships you, Lord, I choose to do so too. Here are some of the words. As you speak, Lord, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapour of your breath the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made, every burning star a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. So here's that song, So Will I, sung by Osby Berry.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, so will I. So will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void.
I used to love playing a game of choices with my granddaughter Katie when we were out walking together. She would ask me Strictly or X Factor, and I would reply Strictly. Then it would be my turn and I would ask her Frozen or Beauty and the Beast, and she would reply Beauty, and so on. But sometimes I liked neither choice, such as leggings or skinny jeans, so I would offer an alternative, trousers. But I was told that was cheating. You couldn't choose an alternative or avoid the question. You had to choose from the ones on offer. In today's reading from the Bible today, Jesus is invited to make a choice too, and he cheats by refusing to go along with the question, giving an alternative answer. But he's very wise in doing so. Here's that reading from Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. Here we see the religious leaders of the day setting a trap for Jesus. They'd obviously noticed that he wasn't afraid to speak his mind or say what he believed to be true, so they could have thought that this was a weakness they could exploit. They didn't approach Jesus themselves. They sent their disciples to him with a question guaranteed to provoke controversy. They hoped his answer would be his downfall. How devious. Here's a song I once wrote with words of warning from Amos 5. It's called An Ancient Song.
I will tell you a brand new story. I will sing an ancient song. For this people turn against me, do not know their right from wrong. I despise empty worship, cannot stand vain offerings, can't abide the gifts they bring. Songs they sing, but let justice roll on freely like a river running clean. Righteousness be found among you like a never failing stream. Look at all their endless idols, they have turned their backs on me. All secure and so complacent, look with eyes that see. They are bound with cords of darkness, held in bonds of misery. Turn to me, my captive people, I, your God, can set you free. But let justice roll on freely like a river running clean. Righteousness be found among you like a never failing stream. But let justice roll on freely.
The Pharisees' disciples opened the conversation with flattery, praising Jesus for his integrity, his impartiality, and his devotion to truth. They come across like the fox in Aesop's fables, the fox which flatters a crow that has a big lump of cheese in its mouth. The fox's flattery does the job well, as the minute the crow opens his mouth to sing, he lets the tasty morsel fall into the fox's mouth. The disciples of the Pharisees hope to see Jesus make a similar blunder. All this plotting against the Lord's anointed. How deceitful. The question was put to Jesus in a very public place, so there would be many witnesses around. And henchmen of King Herod, the Herodians, had been brought along too to witness Jesus' answers themselves. It was their job to ensure that the people obeyed government policies and paid their taxes to Rome. One false word could have seen Jesus arrested. The question that was asked was a controversial one at the time, all to do with taxes. The burden of taxation fell hard on the ordinary people, and they were struggling to survive. And so the Pharisees' disciples asked Jesus the million-dollar question. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Let me explain that the coin that was used to pay the tax had Caesar's head stamped on it. It also bore an inscription referring to his divinity. So even the mere sight of this graven image was abhorrent to the Jews. If Jesus had answered, "Oh yes, pay the taxes," this would have offended and angered the people. Public opinion would have turned against him. Not only that, he would be aligning himself with the oppressor who demanded payment from them. And of course, if Jesus were to reply, "Don't pay the taxes," the Herodians would have seen this as treason against the authorities, and Jesus would have been arrested. When Jesus called for the coin, I wonder if he was playing for time in order to consider their question and perhaps offer up a little prayer to his father for guidance and wisdom. Let's listen to a lovely hymn called Speak, O Lord, written by Keith Getty and Stuart Townend, and sung here by Kristen Getty.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth planted deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility.
When Jesus was handed the coin, he asked, "Whose image is this upon the coin? Whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." Jesus said, "Then give to Caesar's what is Caesar's." In other words, let him have his coins. The Herodians would have actually been pleased with that reply. Then he added, "And give to God what is God's." Not even one of these leaders could fault his reply. When they heard his words, they were amazed by his wisdom. The word actually means they marvelled at what he said. Those who asked the question were made to look quite foolish by Jesus' wise response, and so he emerged unscathed. I remember that Adrian Plass, a well-known Christian communicator and comedian, once called Jesus a great judo expert. He said this because Jesus took on the oppressive energy that was thrust at him by his opponents and deflected it to his advantage, knocking them off balance, or words to that effect. I rather like that description. Would that all leaders were blessed with such gifts of wisdom, compassion and integrity for all the epoch-making decisions of our time. Let's listen to a song, again sung by Kristen Getty with Keith, The Perfect Wisdom of Our God.
The perfect wisdom of our God, revealed in all the universe. All things created by his hand and held together at his command. He knows the mysteries of the seas, the secrets of the stars are his. He guides the planets on their way and turns the earth through another day. Blue. wisdom of his ways that mark the path of righteousness. His word a lamp unto my feet, his spirit teaching and guiding me. Of your sovereignty. Each strand of sorrow has a place within this tapestry of grace. So through the trials I choose to say your perfect will in your perfect way.
There's a story told of a man who made an important decision once, and he responded as Jesus did, with integrity, impartiality, and devotion to truth, and he was disciplined for it. The story is about a Russian officer, Lieutenant Colonel Stanislav Petrov, during the Cold War, and he once saved the world from a thermonuclear disaster by staying calm and reacting wisely in a threatening situation. According to a newspaper account, Petrov was on night duty at the Soviet early warning facility outside of Moscow on September the 26th, 1983, when an alarm went off signalling the launch of several US intercontinental ballistic missiles. Petrov had to determine very quickly whether the attack was real or a false alarm. He chose the latter. It had been a false alarm. Had he informed his superiors, they might very well have responded in kind, but Petrov was not rewarded for his actions. In fact, he received a reprimand for failing to correctly fill in the duty log, and he retired from the military the following year. Petrov befriended the world. He cared about those who would have felt the dire consequences of one wrong action. One simple knee-jerk reaction, one foolish decision, can bring about catastrophe. Today's gospel story has questions for us too. Are we careful with the words we use? When we have to make important choices, do we ever make rash decisions? Do we wait a while and give the matter prayerful thought? And do we ask God's wisdom before we make those choices? Here in our gospel today is also a challenge to those who claim to live a holy life, to show it by their deeds, that they are truly living out God's word by their actions and by their love. But when we claim to have a deep faith and we act with ulterior motives, or with devious thoughts, or if we plot evil, then our celebrations, our worship, our vows are quite worthless in God's eyes. In our next song we hear these words: "They know use to me all your proclamations. You're wasting your time with your fancy words. The sacrifice I want is love in action. That's when you'll be living my words." It's by Margaret Scott and United Folk, called "I Hear Your Voice."
I hear your voice crying in the darkness. I hear your voice calling out my name. I hear your voice telling me to wake up.
Let us pray for the world, for ourselves and those in positions of leadership. Let us pray. May God grant to our world leaders wisdom and understanding, compassion and mercy. May they be calm and measured in their communications with one another, and may each work together for the good of all, to bring about justice and peace in our world, and for the good of future generations. And for ourselves, Lord, let us pray for a greater measure of wisdom in our everyday situations. Give us the right words to say and the right course of action. And regardless of what anyone else may think of the responses we make on difficult issues, let there be a sense in our answers that we have been speaking with you, the God of all wisdom. Amen. I pray you'll be our eyes and watch us where we go, and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer as we go our way. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe. Familiar words indeed of our final song, beautiful song called The Prayer, sung here by Celine Dion and Andrea Bocelli. What a lovely hymn to end on today. It's goodbye from me, Sheila Hummel, and Andrew Ridgwick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
I pray you'll be all right and watch us where we go, and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Guide us with your grace to a place where we'll be safe.
La luce che tu dai,
I pray we'll find your light,
nel cuore resterà,
and hold it in our heart,
a ricordarci.
When stars go out each night,
eterna stella sei, nella mia preghiera,
let this be our prayer,
quanta fede c'è.
Us faith so we'll be saved.
Sogniamo un mondo senza più violenza, un mondo di giustizia e di speranza.
Just like every child, yeah.
to find a place. Guide us with your grace. Give us faith so we'll be saved.
E la fede che hai acceso in noi, sento che ci salverà.